Be the Miracle. Now, I cannot take credit for that title. Can anybody tell me where it came from? If you watch movies a little bit, that's a clue. I'm giving you a clue where the title came from. Pardon? Ooh, no. But you know what? That I could see how you'd say that. No, it's actually a movie about God and Jim Carrey. Bruce Almighty. Bruce Almighty, Jim Carrey, has become disgusted with things because he didn't get the promotion that obviously he deserves. So who do you complain to when you don't get the promotion that you deserve? You complain to God. And so what does God do? He says, if you think you can do better, then here's the job. So Jim Carrey, also known as Bruce Nolan Reporter, becomes God. And it's fun for the first day. Second day, it's okay. But as the trip goes on, more and more people begin complaining about what God is doing. And Jim Carrey, Bruce Nolan, discovers that it's not all fun. And so I think God can relate to that. And we can relate with Bruce Nolan, but and Morgan Freeman is God. No better voice for God, no better person for God, of course. But anyway, and so they have this conversation. And Bruce Carey, Jim Carrey, Bruce Nolan, whatever, says, he's disgusted with this, and people are so, he says, what happens if I need help, etc. Well, anyway, Morgan Freeman then, or God, says, parting your soup is not a miracle, Bruce. That's a magic trick. A single mom who's working two jobs and still finds time to take a kid to soccer practice? That's a miracle. A teenager who says no to drugs and yes to an education? That's a miracle. People want me to do everything for them. But what they don't realize is they have the power. You want to see a miracle, son? What does he say next? Be the miracle. Now, we have to be careful with some of that theology, and we have to remember that it is Hollywood, and they have to sell movies and tickets, and especially with Star Wars, they sell a lot of tickets. But be the miracle. There's a limit here, and we have to be careful of it. But in fact, in our opening video, too, somebody who realizes that it's not just a time to throw up their hands and say, oh man, you got it tough, lady, you got 5 kids under the age of 9, whoa, good luck, I'm out of here. I'm not so bad off after all. But instead, seeing that she has some ability to make a difference in people's lives. Isn't that what Christ wants us to do? Isn't that what Christ expects of disciples then and now? Isn't that who we are called to be as difference makers? Not just to go with the flow, to actually affect life, not just surf life. And it's the first of the year. Isn't there some part of each one of us that looks at this year as that blank slate, as that blank canvas, and we get to fill it with whatever we want to fill it with, and we might have, even if we're not a resolution maker, I believe everybody looks at this time of the year with some amount of anticipation, excitement. If nothing else, we look at this time of the year and we say, well, it can't be as bad as last year. And so there, even that statement suggests some anticipation of what is coming and what's down the pike for us. Bruce says to God, Morgan Freeman, what if I need you? What if I have questions? And God tells him, that's your problem. That's everybody's problem. You keep looking up. And he says it that way. You keep looking up when you could be, the rest of the sentence would be, when you could be looking around and saying, What are the resources that God has already given me to effect something in this world? In other words, sometimes, yes, we need to look up, and it's one of those common little things we say, well, have you prayed about it? Yes, pray about it. But at some point in time, we have to cease being so heavenly minded that we're no earthly good and roll up our sleeves and get to work. To become the people God wants us to be the disciple, to be the difference maker that God has actually empowered us to be and become. So, anyway, I have to give the title credit to Bruce Almighty, or God, in the person of Morgan Freeman. But the big thing here on this Sunday of Epiphany is that with our eagerness to look up, with our eagerness to say, I'm going to pray about this and hope God does something about it, we're missing the fact. We're missing the fact that God doesn't always do things in an extraordinary, miraculous, out of this world way. And that, in fact, what God does quite often is very ordinary. God chooses to work in very ordinary ways and means. It doesn't get much more ordinary, does it? That God would choose you and me to be God's means of making a difference in the world. This baby is pretty ordinary. It doesn't get much more ordinary. And so, yes, we may pray about things, but at some point, we better realize that God's already come. God has already come into the world, is here, and has empowered us. And with the power of the Holy Spirit, has says, greater things than these will you accomplish, because I give you the Holy Spirit. God chooses to work in pretty ordinary ways. Labor pains and barns. Doesn't get much more ordinary than that, does it? And so, while we're praying, let us also keep tabs on the resources that we have, internal, external, in the community in which we live. In that opening video, it was pretty interesting. She said, and then my church got involved. Wow. What a novel thing to do, huh? Yeah. By the way, this church, you know, you need to understand that you've made a lot of difference in people's lives, and there's a lot of people out there. And that whole idea of the invisible girls, I haven't read the book. Has anybody read the book, The Invisible Girls? Man, if somebody gets that, I think we could pass that around and it could go wildfire here. But the other one of the things that enticed me when I saw that video weeks ago is how many people would see themselves as invisible. They're not sure that anybody else sees them. In our world, it may be a neighbor of yours, maybe a neighbor of mine, that if you really get down and talk with them, they'd say, well, none of my neighbors cares. None of my neighbors knows I'm even here. I'm invisible. And yet every one of those people who see themselves as invisible has one of those ladies next door in their life. Maybe on the bus, maybe at work in the break room, somewhere. Maybe at the grocery store. We never know. Every one of us has the potential to be the miracle. Isn't that a statement? You know, if you wonder about how far we have to go to make a difference, I'm just going to pick this one thing. It came out a month and a half ago. After the Paris shootings or bombing, whatever it was, the mess in Paris, there was a mayor in Virginia in a town that I won't name who said this, and he appealed to the precedents of FDR. Franklin Delano Roosevelt in 1942, And this mayor says this, who felt compelled to sequester Japanese foreign nationals after the bombing of Pearl Harbor, and it appears that the threat of harm to America from ISIS now is just as real and serious as that from our enemies then. Now, isn't it interesting that he would appeal to this precedent set by FDR, a precedent that whether you are Democratic or Republican, whether you are young or old, whether you are Native American or a nationalized citizen, has been named and nailed as unconstitutional as the day is long, because 68% of the 110,000 Japanese Americans that were interned were citizens of the United States. And yet we would have leaders in our country who would say, you know, we've got some places that we could make camps for those Syrians. Or whoever else. And that this kind of fear selling and hate mongering would be cast out there. And of course, it's really dangerous now, because we've got Facebook and all kinds of social media, and we can get a word out like that so fast, and it can spread, and we get fearful, and we get afraid, and we lock our doors, and we become distrustful, and the invisible become more invisible, and the separation between us gets bigger than it ever has been, and we're not miracles. We're not even disciples. We're just scared people who don't show our faith at all. And so, yeah, there's all kinds of options and opportunities for us to show some faith and to become less fearful and to have faith in what God wants us to be and do. You know, Lieutenant General John DeWitt, oh, by the way, this article that I'm taking this stuff from is off of the United Methodist Communications website, and it was written by Roy Sano. Roy Sano is a retired Japanese-American United Methodist bishop, whose family was interred, whose father and grandfather, one of them being the pastor of the church that he was part of at that point in time, went to North Dakota, nothing against North Dakota, went to North Dakota to be interred with Italian and German prisoners of war. They were citizens. He and his family, he and his mother, they were just sent to, I believe it was Arizona. All of their belongings and their church, all of that was torched after people ransacked them and went through and got whatever was valuable, if anything, which was very common. And some people of faith in the 40s, 42, 43, 44, they took possession of Japanese Americans' homes so that Caucasians would be living in them and then they wouldn't get torched. A sad commentary. But you see, be a miracle? It doesn't take a whole lot to look around and see that there's opportunities for you and me to take some of the fear-mongering that's out there and to become people of faith and to exercise the faith. God shows up in ordinary ways, ordinary people, you and me. You know, listen to these words from Jeremiah. I just think they're so cool. Jeremiah was writing in a time that it was terrible. It was horrible. The people had been trucked off to, of all places, Babylonia. You know, I don't know if anybody would think, oh gosh, I want to go on vacation to Iraq. I want to go to Baghdad for vacation. I don't hear many people saying that. And that's where the Israelites got trucked off to, Babylonia, Iraq, what we call Iraq. And so Jeremiah writes to the people in that setting. But listen to some of the words that he says. And people of faith, we need to be using words like this today when people are scary. And we can be a miracle in this world just by using words like this. The Lord will rescue the people and deliver them from the power of those stronger than they are. Isn't that cool? Rescue them from the people who are stronger than they are. They will come shouting for joy, jubilant over God's gifts. Their lives will be like a lush garden. They will grieve no more. Young women will dance for joy. Young and old men will join in. I will turn their mourning into laughter. I will lavish the priest with abundance and shower my people with gifts, declares the Lord. Isn't that beautiful language? And aren't those words that we need to be reminded of now when there are those around us who by word and action would suggest that somehow or another God has been deposed and is no longer on the throne? We know better. The Christ is born and is still in the world and is in you and me. Be the miracle. Amen.